the Tom Likas Show.
Good fishing hole has good fishing.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Good fishing hole. Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. 24/7 at blowmeuptom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. That's right, it's the fourth hour. And if you're listening on Tuesday, the 27th of August, just after 6 p.m. Pacific Time, or just after 9 p.m. Eastern Time, this is time for our every Tuesday edition with our attorney, Adam Sachs. And in this particular case, Adam is here to talk about criminal matters. Adam, always good to have you sit in here.
Hey, Tom. There's a big debate this week whether I'm a criminal lawyer or a defense lawyer. So I'm definitely a defense lawyer.
We're going defense now.
Yeah, yeah. Criminal
now
means I'm the criminal. So I don't know how that makes me feel.
You're a criminal lawyer, not a lawyer criminal.
Exactly. I'm trying to have some balance in my work here, Tom.
Understood.
So, Tom, my goodness, I have been thinking about something this week. This is something that's really getting me. And it's going to be a good segue to that gentleman that called last hour.
AJ.
Yeah, I think he's still on hold or something, so we're going to talk to him in a few minutes. But this is really important, Tom. This is something about life, maybe philosophy, but this has to do with what you learn in school. And tragically, there's so much in school that you need to know to get out into life that you don't learn. It's amazing. And I have a little music, very brief, on this theme. Here it comes. You ready? Okay, did you get that, Tom?
Oh, I heard it. Yes, I did.
Okay, so what he's saying is that from all the crap that he learned in school, it's like amazing that he can like even think at all, okay?
Right.
Now, there's little known things that we talk about, Tom, and it comes up so often when we're talking about DUI, for example, that it's really important not to do the blow test. It's really important not to do the field sobriety test, okay? As an example, a very small thing that people don't know is that after you've had a DUI arrest, within 1 week, you have to set up the DMV hearing. And a lot of people call me, because I talked to you about this, Tom, and this relates to this, which is denial. A lot of people get arrested, and then they can't think about it for a while because they're like pretending it's going to go away. By the time they contact me, it's too late. You know, they've missed the window to get the DMV hearing set, and so they lose their license. And I could have maybe saved their license. And with respect to what this other gentleman was talking about, I think this is AJ, one of the things that you should learn in school is how to deal a little bit with some of these issues in the criminal justice system. And in the case of paternity, in California and in most states, there are cutoffs, Tom. And people don't know this. But if you don't do a challenge, particularly if you're married, within 2 years, there's nothing you can do. I worked on a case with an artist who's called Neo. You ever heard of Neo, Tom?
Of course.
Okay, so he's a singer and a songwriter, and there was a woman. This is a case you can look up on Google, by the way, and I was involved in this case personally as the attorney. And this ended up being an all-red case, by the way, Tom, after me, actually.
Oh, my.
But the deal is that there is a child that was not his child, and he held the child out as being his child, and he actually showed the child off on, like, you know, concerts and TV shows, and he became responsible for that child. And what ends up happening is that there's a belief in the best interests of the child that if the father and the child are connected, and this is thought to be after 2 years, and even if you can prove classically the woman tells the guy, I'm divorcing you or I'm leaving you, and I just want you to know, asshole, that Junior isn't even yours anyway. And the guy is like shocked. He does a DNA test and it turns out that's true. It's not his child. But it's too late. He's still on the hook for child support. Because the belief is that the bond has been formed and it would be harmful for the child to then tell the child that's not your dad or whatever. You follow?
How old is this kid?
In the AJ story? I don't know, Tom. You were the one talking to him.
No. I'm talking about the Neo story. How old is the kid?
He's a few years old now. By now, he'd probably be around 5 or 6, I think.
So he knows who he's been told his dad is, even though that isn't his dad.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing that happened with Neo was that Neo knew it wasn't his child and held it out as his child. And actually, I represented the mother of the child. And we were able to get a bundle of money from Neo because of doing that. And you know, even when I was doing it, I remember thinking how incredible that was. But the case of him is a little unusual, but it kind of segues into what I'm talking about, where the guy doesn't know and lives with a child, or, and you've talked about this, you know, staying away from single mothers. If you get involved with a single mother and you start playing dad to her children and hold out as the father of her children, you become responsible for those children. And guys sit down with me, Tom, and they can't believe it. They sit down, we start writing up a divorce or some kind of situation, and they say, well, I know I don't have to pay for, you know, this child and that child because, you know, she already had those children when I met her. And I tell the guy, how long were you with her? Oh, 4 years. No, man, you're going to have to pay for all of the kids. Not only the last one, which is yours, but the other two or three, which she had already. And this is a very powerful reason not to get involved with a single mother, you know? But when we talk about this thing that I was just playing, the song about, you know, crap I learned in high school, I really believe that all of these things should be taught in school. I mean, I hate to get on the soapbox and start talking about changing the curriculum, but when you think about all of the useless stuff that you learn in school, and when I talk to guys, they're so unprepared. I talked to a father today.
By the way, before you go on, I have to interrupt you and ask
sure,
you one thing.
Sure, of course.
I believe that this is by design.
What do you mean?
I believe that the government doesn't want to pay out welfare or other governmental benefits, food stamps and what have you. And so if they can pin it on anybody, they want to be able to do that. And of course they're not going to educate us. And it is the same reason that they do not educate us on how to balance a checkbook. Or what finance charges are, or, you know, how payday loans, you're paying 350% on these loans. It's by design. I don't think this is an accident.
Wow.
I don't think they forgot to teach it. I really believe, that the banks and Wall Street and, the governments themselves, look, the governments run the schools. And, so just like I believe that, the government could wipe out drunk driving if they said, you know, first offense, 5-year suspension of your license. Second offense, lifetime suspension of your license. Third offense, lifetime in prison. That would wipe out drunk driving in our lifetime. That would be the end of it, okay? There might be a few crazies who would still tempt fate. But most people would realize the government was serious. But the government would not then make all the money they make from alcohol rehabilitation classes, and the insurance companies would make all the money they make after you get a DUI. So they just give it the impression that they're getting tough on drunk drivers, but in reality, they rake in all this revenue from people who've been got caught driving a little bit drunk. And I think the same thing is true with welfare. I think the government wants to be in the business of telling people how to raise their kids and nosing into your life about whether you're a fit parent and things like that. And they want to get poor suckers to be taxed involuntarily.
I know, but sticking it to the non-biological parent, that's unbelievable.
I do believe the government does that intentionally. You know what? Otherwise, we would be teaching this in school, okay? We would be.
I don't know, Tom. There's a moment when something happens, and most people have not had experience with the legal system. You know, and they're scared shit of it, okay? And what ends up happening is that their whole life in a couple of days, like, spins out of control. First, there's an arrest of some kind or some kind of thing, incident or something. They don't know what to do. I talked to a father today whose son was arrested like a year ago. And he's still like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure what to do. And it's like, man, you got to be kidding, you know? And I'm not saying that you should be negative, and I don't know if I believe it's an intergovernmental conspiracy, Tom, but you see how people make very poor decisions under pressure. And that's when we talked about going to the UPS store and filling out forms, or your father's friend who's a real estate lawyer giving his hand a try at doing criminal defense or whatever, or people that end up doing really crazy things. And I've had a lot of people, and we talked about me fixing bad brake jobs, I've had a lot of people that had a terrible lawyer for a very long time, and they knew the person was terrible, but they were like, they were so taken up by the whole thing and so afraid of the whole system that they were afraid to, like, make any changes. They were afraid to get a new lawyer, even though they knew their lawyer was doing a bad job. And what's really fascinating in terms of particularly what we were talking about with paternity and the DUI thing and some of the other things is that there are hard deadlines. And people don't realize that some of the things that they're doing, which seem relatively innocuous, end up really costing them. So, for example, you get pulled over for a DUI. They give you this piece of paper. It says you got to appear in court in 2 months. But you don't know that 10 days later has already expired your chance of saving your driver's license. So after you hire a lawyer a month later and you think you still got a month until court, you've already screwed your case up. Right. And in the case of these guys that live with single women and are doing these things with the kids and stuff, it's craziness. It's terrible. And they're so shocked. And you are right, perhaps, that on some level the government wants to be able to collect from somebody. I agree with that. And, you know,
by the way, Gilgart, no less than Gil Garcetti.
No, you remember what he said?
He didn't care about. He was asked by the Los Angeles Times, is it possible that sometimes you get a guy named Jose Gonzalez? And in L.A., we've got hundreds of thousands of guys named Jose Gonzalez, and you've got the wrong Jose Gonzalez. Isn't that possible? And his response was, my job is to collect the revenue. My job is not to be getting involved in whether this is the right one or the wrong one. That was the attitude expressed publicly by the district attorney.
Well, I'm sorry to say that in criminal cases, Tom, it's not so different. In a lot of circumstances, the prosecutors say and the police say, well, I don't know, we're not so sure if this is the right guy, but we'll let the jury decide. And that's how they wash their hands of it.
What's more
outrageous than Garcetti's comment is if I show him, or someone like from his office, so to speak, a DNA test, and I say, this guy is actually not the father, and he says, I don't care. He was with that kid. He held out for that kid. He was 2 years with that kid. That's his kid. That's tough luck, huh?
Right? It's ridiculous. And yet, I don't think guys know this. I think that guys believe that they can drop into the family's life and insinuate themselves into the family. And then if the thing doesn't work out, they can just go on their merry way with no consequences. And by the way, I think there should be no consequences, but guess what? There are consequences.
What's also fascinating is a woman has an entitled attitude that she doesn't mind collecting child support from the wrong guy. And she'll take those checks. And you say to her, are you out of your mind? He's not even the father. And she goes, I don't care as long as I get paid.
Unbelievable. But, of course, you know, the way the government works is in every case, you know, L.A. is a good example. L.A. is broke. California's broke. And so their whole thing is just not having to pay. They don't care who does pay, long as it's not them. And so these guys, you can't let kids live in your house that aren't yours. You can't live in a woman's house who has kids. You can't do it. You're gonna pay. Down the line, you're gonna pay.
What was fascinating in the case that I talked about with this artist was how the woman really believed that it was coming to her. It never occurred to her for a moment to go after the biological father, you see? a lot of times, like we've talked about, Tom, the biological father is the poet or the motorcycle dude or the dude who's in jail, okay? And the guy that she follows him up with after she's had a baby is Poindexter, okay? And he's the one that actually has an income that can be attached. That's who she goes after. So you used to say how a woman looks for the richest man that she can attract in order to get married,
right,
or whatever. Well,
right,
I can add a second part to that. When a woman starts looking for a man to collect child support from, you know, to be the father of her child, and I don't mean biologically, I mean in reality and practice, she also goes for the richest man she can find.
And they try to make it sound like you're a real man for, quote-unquote,
stepping up.
Stepping up. Being a real man. I hear this on Maury all the time, as you know.
You know what?
I worship at Maury's altar.
For your own children, I agree with you, okay? You have to do the right thing by your own kids. But when Maury's talking about stepping up to the plate for a child that's not yours, and the women on Maury are these deceitful bitches who are screaming and yelling about how they're 1,000,000,000% sure, and they find out that the kid is actually not that guy's kid, okay? And then Maury's urging Mr. Sucker, okay, Mr. who's been cheated on, to step up to the plate and be responsible for a child that's not his, no thanks.
Right. You know, and I don't understand. Here's the thing I don't get, and now we're sitting and talking in terms of legalities and stuff. This is the thing I never understand. Why do these men need to live in the same home as the woman they're having sex with? I don't understand that. If you just live in your own place, maintain your separate identity, maintain your separate bank accounts, keep your distance from her kids because they're not your kids, you're going to be in a lot better condition. I know how this whole thing breaks out. Somebody can't pay the rent, or somebody doesn't want to pay the rent anymore. Somebody says, hey, we'll save money. We move in together. We cut expenses. It'll be great. And usually that means a man is going to be taking responsibility for something that was not his responsibility before.
Well, the thing is also, Tom, a lot about what you talked about with the sell job, which I think relates to the women who are giving the free samples at the Costco on the edge of every aisle, right? They're giving you little chunks on a toothpick.
They got the chimichangas out.
Yeah, they want to make sure you try it so you buy a big pack of them or whatever. But the thing is that basically guys, I think, get addicted to essentially the beginning of the relationship. When you're dating a woman in the beginning and she's putting her best foot forward and she's cooking for you and she's taking care of you and she's freaky in bed and all that sort of thing, you start rationalizing and you say, well, if I live with her, I could have this all the time. Wouldn't that be great? And you don't realize that it's going to very quickly degenerate to, oh, honey, you already ate. Can you make me something? Did you make me any leftovers? Oh, you didn't? You got two hands, do it yourself? That's what's coming next. But
that's exactly right.
But the mystery, and I'm telling you, this is the mystery of life, is that people should understand our system. And when we learn in constitutional law in high school, which I remember in high school, instead of having this big yawn, okay, there should be some practicality added to it where we say, look, this isn't a joke. And you have a right to remain silent, and you have a right against self-incrimination. I remember learning those things as sort of esoteric concepts, but what it means is that when the cop pulls you over, you don't have to cooperate. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. You know, fascinatingly, Tom, this is silly, but I was watching one of the recent episodes of Breaking Bad.
Right.
And Skyler, who's the wife, is in a diner talking to her brother-in-law, who's the DEA agent, and all of a sudden, he whips out a tape recorder, and he's like, just tell me what you know. And she immediately says, am I under arrest? Am I under arrest? I'm leaving now. And she gets up and leaves, you know? I mean, she understood that she's talking to an agent of the government, and that this isn't funny anymore. And people need to say to police officers, excuse me, officer, am I under arrest because I'd like to leave? You know, I'm going somewhere. I don't want to stand here anymore. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Because what ends up happening in so many cases is the things that people do in the first few moments end up being self-incriminating, end up giving the game away. And that officer, even if he's being polite to you, he's the person that's going to testify against you. And people are always saying to me, you know, officer, you know, whatever, like he's a friend of theirs, and he was giving them legal advice, and he promised them and all this. I talked to someone recently who was telling me the officer on the scene, and he knew her name, Shirley or something, promised me my son wouldn't be arrested. And, you know, she broke her promise. And I'm like, you're kidding, right? I mean, he was really upset about it. And he had apparently made statements to her which were going to be used against the son. And he helped gather evidence from the son's room and his things that are going to be used against him. And here's this guy thinking that Shirley is helping him out or whatever.
Oh, Jesus.
Unbelievable.
That is amazing.
It's depressing.
I know. All right, let's take a break. Adam is here to talk about criminal issues, criminal matters, DUI. If you have been accused of a crime, or if you've committed a crime and been convicted and you want to get your record expunged, these are the things he can deal with. And in this hour, it's essentially free legal advice for you. So, of course, we recommend you ultimately engage an attorney and don't just take information off a show, but literally then go act on it with a professional like Adam Sachs. So here's what I need you to do. You need to call this number, 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866.
Listen to an entire year of internet broadcast history now at premiumtom.com. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
New normal rock. Newer, faster, harder rock. 24-7. Listen now or we'll pee on your rug. They pee on your fucking rug. Pee on my fucking rug. Find us at newnormalrock.com and apps like TuneIn. They peed on your fucking rug. No ballots, no bras, no bullshit.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Don't make us pee on your rug.
New normal rock.
Is your small business online? If not, you're probably missing out on potential clients. And that's a problem. Let the guys at Premium Interactive take care of it for you. Check them out at premiuminteractive.com. They've been promoting large to small businesses online for over a decade, and they're ready to put all of their experience to work for you. Now visit premiuminteractive.com right now for a special limited time promotion called the Express Website Solution, and it starts at just $699. That's right. For just $699, you can have a complete and professionally designed website. It's premiuminteractive.com. Just mention the Tom Likas Show and get an extra 20% off. It's time to get your business online. Get started today with premiuminteractive.com. Tom Likas Show, a bonus hour with attorney Adam Sachs here at 901-3000-TOM, 901-3000-866. On our last hour of the show, we had a caller named AJ. He called in and he said, where's Adam Sachs when you need him? I said, well, he'll be here in about half an hour. And he promised AJ we'd put him on with Adam, and here he is. Adam, say hi to AJ.
Hey, AJ.
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm worried about you, man. What's going on?
Okay, one of my best friends in the world, this is a guy I met as a kid moving into my childhood neighborhood. He's been going through it. I knew he was going through it when I was in the military and when I got out of the military, but after what I heard Sunday night, I had to call you guys and try to get some professional help. He's been married for 10 years. He got married in 2003. The same time that we were getting fitted for tuxes, I went and signed up for the military. 2 years in, I said this before in the previous hour, we're out drinking, and infidelity comes up. He flips out and says that he will murder the guy his wife was with and his wife.
Nice.
If she was cheating on him or something like that. And then he blurts out, especially since we hadn't been having sex in 2 years.
What?
Well, exactly.
That's just a normal marriage, you know?
The first 2 years?
Listen, if you like sex, marriage is not for you.
Oh, I know that. That's why I'm not married. But, I mean, my boy is. And even thinking back to, like, when I would come back and visit, I'd ask him, like, where his wife is, and she's off watching TV at her mom and dad's house. When you have, like, a big 50-screen or 50-inch TV, direct TV with every package out there, I'm just like, this don't make sense.
You know, I'm surprised he isn't telling you that the wife is going to girls' night out with her girlfriends or whatever at some club.
Oh, that's happened, too. I mean, you name it, it's happened. And I came to the conclusion a long time ago that my boy's a cuckold, that just flat out, she's cuckolding him.
Hey, you know, Tom, that's a great word we should bring back. You know, like spinster?
Yes.
Cuckold,
yes.
That's a great word.
I love the throwback words.
Well, we haven't heard that word in a long time, you know? That's the guy that gets cheated on or whatever? That's great.
Yeah. Derivative of the cuckoo bird.
Yeah. That's
a great word.
No, thank you for that. That's really great, AJ. I like that one.
Yeah, and to all my fellow listeners out here, y'all fuck around, get them girlfriends, get married. Yeah, you'll end up a cuckold, especially if you ain't packing in the pants.
No, believe me, it's got nothing to do with it, man. You could be the greatest lover in the whole world. A woman's going to cheat on you one way or another.
You know what? That's true as well.
Always looking for a better deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we need to be doing the same thing, right? But long story short, over the weekend, she tells my boy the kid isn't yours. He was chastising the kid about something I was doing, and she just flat out said, this kid isn't yours. I don't know why you're chastising him in the first place or her in the first place.
And how old is he?
5.
All right, well.
The child is... One of the
basic principles of law is that any child born of a marriage is, you know, the biological child of both parents, including the father. So it may be strictly academic at this point. There's a couple of companies that I use that are, you know, not expensive, a few $100, very, very accurate. Tom's right, you don't use the one that's the crappy one in the drugstore. But you can, you know, if he wants to know, and he should probably do it, I think everyone should do it, he should take a DNA test, but it may not have any real practical consequence, legally speaking, and if he divorces her or whatever. But if that's the kind of crap that she's telling him, like, that's not your kid, then he should be so out of there. He should be done with her, wash his hands of that bitch. It's horrible. And I know the next thing you're going to tell me is that he's not, right?
Oh, no, he's not. Like I said previously, I have tried to put him on the Tom. I've dropped hints and notes about it. I mean, I was out of the country. I was on tour in the military. I called home to talk to my family. And my brothers, one of my little brother, the first thing he tells me is, yo, your boy, his wife still has that green car, right? Yeah. Yeah, I seen her over here by my gym, and she was riding around with some guy in the car. And it wasn't your boy.
Wow.
So it's been like a repetitive thing.
Yeah, but it's like, I know, but again, as an outsider, it's one of those things where you can bring all the evidence in the world. If they don't want to see it, they just don't see it, right?
Yeah, and that's the situation.
Well, I got to tell you, I know you care about your friend, but you got to cut him loose, you know?
Wow.
What can I say?
I totally was not expecting that.
What do you say, Tom? Is there something? Is there something I'm missing here?
Well,
if you don't want to save yourself, man.
Well, of course you want to save yourself, and caring for yourself is number one.
Yeah.
But when you have someone who doesn't, Tom, there's only so much you can do.
Right.
Like a drug addict. You know,
I have friends, by the way, who do the wrong things all the time. All the time. In a variety of ways. I could go through the list, and these guys would all, you know, be all hurt. They'll be all butthurt if I went on here and told all the things they do wrong. But unless what they're doing harms me directly, well, I just learned to live with it. I learned to live around it. But, for example, if one guy was suspected of being the father of a kid and it was actually me,
okay,
that would be different.
Yeah.
I would not want to have to pay that bill, and I would not step up. I would. I have said forever that I do not want to be a father, do not want to be a parent, do not want that responsibility, do not want that in my life. Now, if a friend asked me to do that in order to make life easier for him, I'd have to make a decision, and that's the decision I would make.
I don't know, Tom.
Man, so cut ties.
Well, what you have to do, it's not cut ties. I mean, look, you know, if you love the guy in other ways, then you have to see if you can put this aside. I mean, maybe you can hang out with him and drink beer with him, and this doesn't come up. But you know,
we can't even do that.
But she won't allow it, right?
No.
Mommy says no.
Listen, if his phone rings, if it's not picked up, out of his own mouth, there's hell to pay.
You know that one, Tom, where the girlfriend answers and she's like, "What is this in reference to?"
I had a friend. He knows who he is.
Gary's laughing. Gary knows this one.
Gary met him. He was at my this guy's from the East Coast. He was at my housewarming party at the ranch, this guy. Okay? Gary met this guy. And this guy got married relatively young, and I called his house, and the wife picks up the phone, and I tell her my name, and she would tell me, "What is this in reference to?" And I tried that about 4 or 5 times. And then eventually I stopped calling. It was over.
Yeah, who needs this, right?
Look, he may be pussy whipped, but I'm not going to be pussy whipped by her. No way.
Exactly. And, I mean, when I say we grew up together, it's 3 of us. He has, like, a stepbrother, a half-brother. But literally, it's 3 of us, 4 occasionally. We all grew up together. 2 of us, we're fine. Him and his brother are all fucked off right now.
The thing is, you can't go too far with people. You know, you have to point it out to him. You have to try to talk to him about it once or twice. And if he's not going to open his eyes, then you have to stop. You have to let it go. Otherwise, you're creating a codependency. There's not that much that you can do to help somebody. And I talk to people all the time, and I'm telling them, you know, you got to think about this. You got to deal with this. This is going to be a disaster. And some people never learn. I've got a lot of guys who call me, and they're telling me about very, very dramatic circumstances. And I tell them, if you don't get away from this woman and you don't file first, she's going to come after you with a restraining order. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose everything. And the guy says, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he calls me back 2 months later, and he says, hey, I just got served with a restraining order. Right?
Yeah.
Now he's completely screwed, and it's going to make my job 100 times more difficult. But I warned him 2 months ago, and he didn't listen. What can I do? I can't go to his house and force him. And you've got to be able to recognize that you've done the right thing by talking to your friend, and if he's not taking your advice, that's it.
So just hands up. Don't even, like, give him the name to a good testing facility or anything?
I don't know. Give him my number. I'll talk to him.
Roger that, Adam. Man, I appreciate you guys for talking to me and looking out for my friends and family in this situation, because this is crazy. I've dealt with situations that I've had to call Tom about before, and he's given me some really good advice, but this was one that I couldn't even advise myself out. So I appreciate y'all help to the fullest.
Thank
you. Of course.
You.
AJ, thank you. Appreciate the call. By the way, calling twice in one day, that took some effort, too, so we appreciate
that. There you go.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to somebody who's on probation, has a question. We got a guy who has a question about talking to cops, and it's all coming up as we continue.
Storming halls, breaking walls, and busting balls. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Boys, fantasy football is back, and DraftKings.com is celebrating with millions in cash prizes. DraftKings, it's one-day fantasy sports. These are one-day games that mean you're never locked into a season. It's like a new season every time you play. Pick your team in just minutes, and you could instantly be getting your share of the $1 million that they're awarding kickoff week. That's right. Week one this season, $1 million is up for grabs. Now, they tell me one guy won $100,000 his very first time. Can you imagine? $100,000 on day one. Play for free. That's right, free at DraftKings.com. Enter Tom 101 with your first pay game and get free entry into the $1 million kickoff bash. Now, seriously, free entry that could win you thousands just by playing fantasy football. Use Tom 101 at DraftKings.com. You got that? DraftKings.com.
There's a new normal channel with Tom Likas. There's a new normal channel for lizards. There's a new normal channel with balls. There's a new normal channel with 50,000 in a row. And then there's a new normal channel that just screws with your head 24/7. That channel is Great Big Radio. Great Big Radio. Two generations of awesome power pop. Stuff you know very well with stuff you forgot about. And stuff you never heard before but will blow you away. I said blow. So, enjoy 50,000 Lizards with Balls 101. And when you want to hear classic hits and the songs that should have been, go straight to
Great Big Radio.
24/7 at GreatBigRadio.com, the TuneIn app, and the Great Big Radio app for the iPhone.
Sophisticated, elegant, funny, and amazing. Now, if this isn't what you picture a magician to be, you haven't met Magic Castle comedian and magician Zach Waldman. Zach provides entertainment for exclusive private parties and corporate events nationwide. Your guests will be amazed, and they'll laugh harder than they ever have before, guaranteed. You know, Zach Waldman performed for Chris Rock, Gene Wilder, Microsoft, Business Week, and many others. Word is that Vice President Al Gore said Zach Waldman is the best magician he's ever seen, and that Seth MacFarlane spit his drink out. He was laughing so hard during a Zach Waldman performance. Zach Waldman will make your next event fun, memorable, and unique. Mention my name, Tom Likas, and receive a 20% discount. So call Zach right now at 310-922-6244. That's 310-922-6244. Or visit his website. It's Zach, Z-A-C-H, Waldman, W-A-L-D-M-A-N, ZachWaldman.com. Bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show at 901-3000 Tom. We're here with attorney Adam Sachs. Free legal advice for you if you call now at 901-3000-866. All right, Adam gives a couple of minutes of free legal advice on the show. But, Adam, if people have a real problem and they need to engage your services, how do they get in touch with you?
Always happy to talk to people. You can reach me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. And you can also check my website, adamlawyer.com, and you can email me. I love email, adam at adamlawyer.com.
Like I just did.
Yeah, I just got one from you, Tom. Thank you.
I sent Adam an email during the break.
Excelente.
I wasn't hiring him. I'm not married, and I'm not in any criminal
You're not quite
trouble.
That foolish, huh, Tom?
No, no, but I sent him something else. 901-3000 Tom, that is our... I've made my mistakes, Adam, as you know.
I say.
901-3000-866. Alex in Boise, Idaho, you're on with our guest, attorney Adam Sachs. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
I know, hello. I said hello.
Yeah, hey, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, Alex?
Not much. I was calling because you were giving the free legal advice, and you were talking about getting pulled over and, you know, if you're not under arrest, you can just go. Like, like Tom said before the break, I'm on probation, felony probation up here in Idaho.
Wow.
And it just seems like people that are on probation, I know a lot of people that are on probation up here, but it just seems like we have less rights.
Absolutely.
Which is, in some cases is true. Like, I know I give up my right to seizures and search and seizures.
That's
and,
true.
You know, they could search me or UA me whenever. That's fine.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I'm all right. If I get pulled over, they can search my car, then I can find
them. No, it's worse. It's worse. It's brutal reality in terms of being on probation. You give up a lot of your rights. Very often, you don't have the right to have pornography. You don't have the right to have a gun. And not only your car, but they can come and search your house anytime without a search warrant. That's because you've been given a special protection, a special legal status not to go to prison and so forth. That's why probation is heavy stuff, particularly if you do something else. If you reoffend, then you have the new charge and you violated the probation. So that's a pretty shaky status, so be careful.
Yeah, but the thing that I'm trying to get at is, like, sometimes it's like a little over harassment from cops. You know, it's like they expect, like, I've been on probation for 2 years. I've been doing good. I'm actually looking to get off. I had 5 years sentence that I have to serve on probation. I'm looking to get off here in January. But it's like they're always trying to catch me doing something. I haven't been doing anything for a while
now.
Yeah,
that's harsh. It's true. You're definitely going to be judged by cops. And you know something, believe it or not, and without being a wise guy or being even nasty at all, you should say to them what you just said. If you get pulled over, you have some circumstance where you have what they call police contact, where you have contact with a police officer in some way.
Yeah.
You should say right up front that you don't want them to be surprised, you know, when they're looking you up on the computer, you know, you're handing them over your license or whatever. You say, "Officer, I just want you to know that I'm serving 3 years of probation. I'm 2 years in, and you're going to see that. And that when you look me up, and I just want you to know that. And I also want you to know that I made my mistakes, and now I'm straightening out my life, and I'm doing things properly now. And the last thing I would want to do is reoffend." And I think that would be a smart thing to say, and that would go a long way rather than the cop figuring out that you're on probation and then, you know, screwing around with you like you're describing.
Yeah, and you know, for the most part, I do go through that, you know, because crime I committed, I was pretty young when it happened, got charged as an adult, and, you know, they freak out when they see what the crime was and everything, and it's like I tell them that, you know, this is what I did, this is what I've done since, and it's like, you know, you're not going to be catching me doing anything, so why are you treating me as if I'm out here, you know, just another piece of shit on the streets, because I'm not. And
right.
I don't know. It's real frustrating, especially up here. I don't know if the cops are bored up here and don't have anything better to do or what it is, but it's just I don't know if
Idaho has the best reputation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just think you want to be even-handed. You don't want to be a smartass, but you definitely want to say what I just kind of described in your own words to the officer. Look, you know, I'm going to cooperate with you. I want you to know I'm on probation, but there's nothing I'm going to do to mess that up because I'm turning my life around. And hopefully on that basis, he'll give you a break.
That's about
the best you can hope for. And then, like I always tell people, once your probation's over, you should definitely get your record expunged. I've done that for a lot of people. They're very happy with that usually. And that's something that's nice, that you can have a clean slate and start over.
Is Idaho one of your states, Adam?
Not particularly, but it's certainly the same concepts.
Understood. All right, Alex, thank you for the call. It's 901-3000 Tom with our guest attorney, Adam Sack. You're Adam here, by the way. Every Tuesday, there's a bonus hour beginning at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Here's Jonathan in Miami. Jonathan.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Great.
Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, Adam. Adam, I really appreciate what you do, your advice and everything you give to everyone.
Thanks.
I had an experience where I was pulled over by a cop. It was a legitimate stop. I had an expired tag by just 3 days. Administratively, I just didn't take care of it right away. And I carry a gun in the car. Actually, I have two guns in the car. And in Florida, you don't need to have a permit or a license concealed carry to have a gun in the car.
Right.
As long as, according to the statute, it's securely encased, which I'm very familiar with the statute. It means it needs to be in your glove box. It can't be under your seat. It can't be, you know, between your legs and your cup holder, you know, in plain view, essentially. But it has to be somewhere where you just open the glove box to get to it. They're, you know, they, cops like to say, you know, you need two steps to get to your gun or whatever. Anyway, that's not the law, but the law just says securely encased.
Right.
You know, when I was stopped, in the past, I've always, you know, notified the officer when they ask, you know, do you have any weapons? Yes. And I say they're here and here, and they've always been cool about it. This last time I got stopped, the officer says, do you have any weapons? And I said, yes. And I pointed to them as normal. And she freaks out, asks me to get out of the car, pats me down, puts me in the back of her car, then says I'm not under arrest. I'm just, you know, for her safety, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Puts me there. Then proceeds to, goes to my car. Before she goes to my car, she says, is there anything in your car I need to know about? And I said, no. But I didn't say, yes, you may search my car.
Right.
So she proceeds to do an illegal search of my car, takes my weapons, and then comes back and arrests me.
Wow.
And I was like, why are you arresting me? And she said, because you have, you know, guns in your car, you don't have a permit, and they're loaded. You know, there's a bullet in the chamber and everything, and they're not locked, and you can't have that.
Right.
Which is absolutely false.
Right.
The statute says nothing about where the bullets need to be in the gun. It's not that detailed. This is just a cop just not knowing the law. And looking back on the situation, and you, I guess, looking for you to chime in on this, Adam, if the cop says to me, do you have any weapons in the car, technically, I don't have to answer that question.
That's true.
What would you recommend in that situation when a cop asks you a question?
Right.
I'm not looking to get out of the ticket. I mean, if I get pulled over, I'll take the ticket. But I'm at this point, I don't even want to talk to the cop. I just want to hand over my identification when I'm stopped and be done with it.
Right.
I don't want to answer that question again.
All right,
I don't want this to happen again.
I understand. This is going to require a little background, okay? There
sure.
have been a lot of studies about this, and this is a very serious problem. I hate to be labeled a sexist or a misogynist, but women should not be police officers, okay? Sorry. There are studies now that have come out that are very definitive that women police officers are something like 20 to 30 times more likely to use their weapon, to use their gun, okay, and to shoot people. And the circumstance, if you can imagine, let's say that there are two very unruly guys in some bar fight, right? And in walks this big burly cop, and he breaks it up. And he says to them, you guys want to go to jail? You want me to kick your ass? And the two of them back off. And it ends up diffusing the situation. Unfortunately, you have a woman cop, and even if she's real tough, it doesn't matter. The circumstances, the men and women in the circumstances, are less intimidated. They're more likely to say, screw you, bitch, and not listen to her. And she ends up having to draw her gun and shooting somebody, which didn't necessarily need to happen. Because remember, if you have deterrence, a lot of times it prevents problems. This is the idea, for example, that the United States right now is looking very weak around the world because of President Obama's dithering, and so that gives the impetus to, let's say, the dictator of Syria to do something really horrible because he doesn't think the U.S. has the guts to do anything in return. And so what you've had happen to you, I would estimate and say, you had this lady cop who pulled you over, and she felt that she needed to assert herself. So instead of being a regular cop and saying, oh, yeah, okay, you've got a gun, thanks for telling me, she's like, oh, my God, you have a gun. I'm intimidated. I have to arrest you. I'm putting you in the back. You didn't lock it, and you didn't show me a permit. And she's, you know, essentially freaking out. I've talked with Tom about this in the past where, you know, the thing about playing with little gerbil when I was a kid, and they say to you, you know, that the gerbil's much more scared of you than you are scared of it. And basically, the cop that pulls you over for a routine traffic stop, believe it or not, is very likely to get shot. And they're very nervous about it, and they're very aware of situations and circumstances escalating. And essentially, you should have gotten a ticket for that tag, and that's about it. And I think, I don't know exactly what your circumstances are, but you should go to court with an attorney, and I think you'll be able to get all the gun issues, you know, dismissed. But you have to recognize...
I did. It's all taken care of.
Good.
I've got the expungement application in.
Good.
It's all done, said and done. I did spend the night in county.
That's a drag.
And on top of that, I argued it. By the way, Adam, I'm on the board of the ACLU.
Oh, good.
And,
good for you.
And I tried to explain that to her. I know the statute. I knew it
I
know the number.
I understand. One second. You've got to listen to what I'm saying. You can't get into an argument with a lady cop. And you can't.
I wouldn't
get into an argument with any cop. But you got to understand
exactly.
that a lady cop is not looking at it the same way. Okay? And she's scared to death. That's the joke. You don't realize that. And the way that she's going to react is with anger. And like I said, she's 30 times more likely than a male cop to draw her gun and shoot you. All right? So don't tempt fate, man.
Well, look, this is what happened. She, after that conversation, you would think she would do the research and then let me go eventually.
No.
She ended up lying on the police report. She wrote on the report that, and I wasn't argumentative. I was trying to be informative. I didn't raise my voice. I said, look, just look it up when you get to the station. You know, you'll see. And just, you know, I said, let me go. You'll find out that it's not correct. And you just let me go.
Well, that's,
and she looked and kind of laughed.
I don't know what you're doing that for, dude.
I know, but I've never been arrested before, and it was quite a shock.
I understand.
She lied on the report and said the gun was in plain sight.
Yeah, I understand.
But she charged me with carrying a concealed weapon. So that kind of canceled it out. I mean, she kind of screwed up on the report by trying to lie.
I understand, but you've
been plain sight.
I understand, but somehow you're failing to understand what I'm telling you about understanding her point of view. Okay?
Yeah.
You've got to look at
it
from her point of view. Okay? She shouldn't be a cop in the first place. Okay? She's
right.
in what's...
Well, I won't
what,
tell her that.
Well, she's in what seems to her to be a dangerous situation. You're heavily armed, and she thought you were going to shoot her. Okay? And that's the joke.
From the back seat of her car, she took me out of her car. I don't know. How
you're expecting a lot of rationality from women that are irrational. Okay.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. But I just wanted to let people know, and you say this on many occasions, that don't talk to cops. But this is a case where I've talked to cops before, and it's never had a problem. I never imagined, and I do Know Your Rights campaigns, and I talk to people all the time, and I guess it's fate in a way that I was put in a situation to really hammer home the fact that you should not talk to cops. Even if you think you're in the right, you don't assume the cop knows the law is my basic takeaway from this.
Let's look at the best part of this, Jonathan. Let's look at the best part of this. And that is, in your position with the ACLU, you have now had firsthand experience with your rights being denied. And you will now be more effective at imparting that information to the people who come to the ACLU who need your services. So,
absolutely.
Big pain in the ass, spend the night in jail. But you now have a story to tell, and it will make you more effective in your position.
And I say still, don't talk to cops, man. No way.
And thank you, Tom, for giving me this platform. I hope other people have learned from this, about talking to cops. And just, don't be an asshole about it, but... Really, there's a lot of videos on YouTube where people stand their ground against cops and check them out and just know your rights, assert your rights, hopefully don't get shot trying to do it. But really, the more people that do it and stand up for their rights, the less likely cops will be to try and violate them if more people just don't let cops steamroll over them when they get pulled over.
All right, Jonathan, thank you for that. We're at the end of the hour. I'm going to take one more call here.
All right.
Albert in Hollywood, say hi to Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, Albert.
Wait. How's it going, Adam Sachs?
Cool. Good to talk to you.
So the worst has happened to me. I've been arrested for DUI for the first time ever. And my question is, for a first-time offense, is it even worth getting a lawyer?
Oh, dear. All right, well, first of all, let me say that's not the worst thing that could ever happen to you, okay? And I'm really glad that it's never happened to you before. You obviously don't have a record or whatever, and that's great. And I've said this before, it really has to do with who you are, okay? You have to ask yourself that. What people don't recognize is the repercussions beyond just the DUI. If you go and just plead guilty, you're going to end up paying about $2,500 in fines. You're going to have to go to several years of AA classes and alcohol education, and you'll be on probation for 3 years. The real question is it going to affect your job? If you have anything having to do with trust in a company or driving their kind of vans or operating equipment or being in an office circumstance with other workers, they may fire you for having a DUI. Okay, that's a big question. And you have to ask yourself who you are. Are you someone who doesn't mind having a criminal record? Because a DUI is a serious offense. And so that's something that's going to be on your record for years to come. I would fight it no matter what. I would get a lawyer and fight it no matter what. But I talked to a guy who tells me he's a roofer and he doesn't have any kind of state license. He's never going to. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if he has a criminal record. Then I guess, whatever, do what you want. But personally, based on the circumstances, it's not the worst thing that could ever happen. It can be dealt with, and I'd certainly be happy to help you. I think you should fight it. I think that's the standard answer, to tell you the truth.
Because that's what I was trying to figure out. You know, if it's my first time offense, will they just give me, you know, the lenient sentence? I mean,
well, you end up being on probation for 3 years, and if you get arrested again for something else, now you're really screwed. People don't realize that.
How much is typically the fine for that?
I just said it's going to be in the $2,500
range.
And you have to take classes and a lot of other things. And by the way, your car insurance will skyrocket.
Yes.
You're going to have trouble with a lot of other aspects of your life. I think you should fight it. I always tell people to fight it. But you
by
have
the way,
to ask yourself
by the
who
way,
you are.
I picked up something in this conversation that wasn't obvious.
Really?
But I'm going to ask Albert. Albert, you said this is the first time you got caught. So
how
many times have you driven drunk? Probably a lot, right?
Probably a lot. And I actually grew up in South Central, and I've been pulled over by cops and let go. But I got pulled over here in Hollywood. I guess they were having a saturation patrol. And I got pulled over by a motor. And
by the way, word of advice, you already know in SoCal about driving on PCH. I don't anywhere from Malibu down to Huntington Beach and beyond. That's the worst place to drive drunk. But nowadays, and I live in the Hollywood Hills, so I see it all the time, the second worst place to drive drunk is now Hollywood and West Hollywood. For years, Hollywood and West Hollywood, the only way you get pulled over is if you aimed a bazooka out the window. But now with all these clubs that have opened up and all the stories about Lindsay Lohan and clubs and Miley Cyrus and clubs, now the cops have centered their attention on Hollywood. Hollywood's got 100 new bars and clubs that were not there 10 years ago.
That's true.
And so now
the
cop,
in Hollywood.
You cannot, look, you shouldn't drive drunk anyway, but you definitely don't want to drive on the Pacific Coast Highway or in Hollywood, ever. Not with one beer, because they're going to get you.
Yeah, and they did. And they did.
In fact, that saturation patrol was announced here by Mr. Checkpoint last week. Did you hear it?
No.
We announced it on the show.
No, that's right. Senate was talking about that. That's right. Saturation.
Well, this was on Wednesday. I know the saturation patrol that was on Gilangapri and Ireland, that was on Friday night. This was on Wednesday.
Forget about Hollywood. I'm telling you.
They got me on the off street. It wasn't like on the boulevard. It was on Santa Monica and Wilton. I don't know if you're familiar with the ghetto
part.
I'm
very, very, very familiar with that street corner.
Yeah, and so that's where they got me at. And as
but
far
you,
as
got, you can't
thing,
do
I
it.
I don't know if I have any grounds, any technical grounds to actually fight the thing, you know. But
an attorney is going to tell you.
I can fight them all. Come on, don't say that. Don't be
that
negative.
Is why you hire an attorney. Of course you don't know. That's what a professional will tell you, Albert.
Yeah,
professional.
Well, at least they'd give me a lesser sentence instead of going in there blind.
Why would you assume that? You know who gets lesser sentences? People who hire attorneys.
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Yeah, like you always say, hiring an attorney always saves you money.
I had somebody today, and it was not a criminal matter. It was a civil matter that could have gone to a criminal matter. I had somebody today who was talking about the $20,000 legal bill he'd just gotten. Now, yours would not cost $20,000. But in this particular case, this was somebody who was involved with a Bernie Madoff-type character who the victims of this person were trying to get $160,000 out of this individual, ended up taking a decimal point of that, and the attorney charged $20,000, and the person's husband was complaining to me about the legal fees. I said, are you kidding me? He said, you can sleep at night.
Slap on
the matter is resolved, It's signed, sealed, and delivered. You don't have to stay awake at night anymore. And on top of that, you paid a fraction of what you would have paid anyway. If you didn't go in with an attorney, imagine what you would have paid. This is what people need to understand. This is not something to cheap out on, okay? This is something that you need to take seriously because there is the distinct possibility if you go in with an attorney that it gets knocked down to a lesser charge or knocked out altogether on a technicality or maybe not even a technicality, okay?
Okay.
I'm talking to you from years of experience before I ever met Adam Sachs. I have always had good attorneys on my side, and even though it cost me money, you don't look at the money it costs you. What you look at is what it would have cost you if you had not had an attorney, and that is usually considerably more. So, you know, I don't want Adam to have to toot his own horn here. I'm telling you that when you get into trouble with law enforcement, you must hire an attorney. You must protect your rights. Well, because believe me, it's going to cost you a lot more if they take away your license, if your employer finds out about it and fires you, if you're trying to get a job and you are being rejected for a job because you have a criminal record. There's a million things that can happen. Not to mention, by the way, even if you get it knocked down somewhat, do you know what's going to happen to your auto insurance? Do you?
I have no idea, but
that could be worse. That could be worse than any fines you pay, because that's going to be on your record for years, and you're going to be paying more insurance. The insurance company is going to be thrilled that you got convicted of something, anything, because they're going to be raking it in. So I'm telling you
about this ID stuff, the interlock ignition device that I have to install in my car for 6 months. It's mandatory. I mean,
well, it's only mandatory if you. By the way, it's only mandatory if you're convicted. Do you understand that?
Yes. Yes.
It is, you know, if you have an attorney, it is not automatic that you will be convicted.
Yeah, I've just been, you know, trying to see what to expect, you know, what's up ahead. But I guess
that is why you see, pal, that's why you see an attorney. Yeah, that's how you're going to find out what you're up against. And that is how you fight these things. And let me tell you something, you know, people of means, people who have money, they know what I'm talking about, okay? I didn't become a millionaire for nothing, okay, or a multimillionaire, okay?
Okay.
Over the years, I've been accused of various things. I was accused by the L.A. city attorney of inciting a riot.
All right, and with a boombox thing?
Right. So you remember the story when I had people bring a boombox. Okay.
Well, I remember that.
Guess what?
That was
serious shit. Now, I could have just called the ACLU and said, help me, help me. But I had to get my own attorney involved.
Right.
And the result was they did nothing. I didn't even go to court. It was resolved. It was done. Now, I can't say that's what's going to happen with your alleged DUI. But what I'm telling you is smart people, rich people, hire attorneys. And that is why they don't get in trouble as often as other people.
Right.
You see?
Adam, you're right.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Tom.
Adam, what's the difference between reckless driving and DUI? What's the borderline difference there?
Well, these are just different things. Sometimes when people are bargaining with some kind of plea on a DUI, they try to get it reduced, particularly what's called a wet reckless. I think that's what you're talking about. But if I understand what you're saying to me, essentially, is that you want to do this yourself.
No, I'm just
I really don't think you should, okay? Tom's already explained. No, I understand.
Call tomorrow and then we'll
that's okay, but Tom has already talked to you about, you know, how foolish it is to go forward without an attorney and the different consequences.
And
I told you, Tom, there are some people that are not going to hire a lawyer no matter what you tell them, you know?
Well, again, I am constantly talking to guys, many of whom don't have the money I have or the experience I have, And I've had this conversation we're having with Albert with countless guys.
Okay. Tom, that's why I have payment plans. I always try to work with people, depending on their financial circumstances.
Well, you know, and I have conversations about hiring lawyers with people all the time. And not just because I know you, Adam, but because I have literally 12 different attorneys I count on for various things.
Right.
They are there when I need them. And it's like the person I know who went to the UPS store to fill out legal documents. And instead of using even a paralegal, she used the woman behind the counter at the UPS store because, quote, she'd help many other people fill out the forms.
Fabulous.
All right, this is the trailer trash way of handling things.
That's it, okay? the suicide way.
You're going down. So,
hey,
Albert,
Adam,
please
okay.
promise me, whoever you hire, and obviously, you know, Adam's our friend, and we recommend Adam, but whoever you hire, don't not hire somebody. Promise me that you're not going to go in defenseless, because you have no idea what judge you're going to get. You have no idea what's going to happen.
I really don't, because, like I said, it's my first time, and, you know, I have no idea what's going to happen.
If you have no attorney representing you and protecting you, you really don't know what might happen. You know, you do understand that there's no guarantee you're going to get a lesser sentence or a lesser charge. You could literally walk out of that courtroom in handcuffs. You literally could. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
What if you're wrong? What if you get the wrong judge? What if you get a judge whose kid was killed by a drunk driver? You never know what's going to happen to you. You really want to chance that?
No way.
All right. Promise me, okay, that you will hire an attorney and you will go in protected.
Okay. Adam, where's your office located?
I have two offices, one in West LA and one in the San Fernando Valley. So.
Oh, okay. I'm here in Hollywood.
Happy to help you. Don't worry about it. I understand what happened.
Okay.
Just be in touch.
I can give you a call later today.
No problem.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
See, Tom, it's tough to convince people. We'll see what he ends up doing. I hope he comes through.
Oh, I hope he does, too. These guys have no idea. I know people who've done what he's talking about doing. I know people, okay? I know one person in particular who did not hire an attorney, who ended up doing Caltrans on the weekend, doing months and months of AA.
Oh, God.
Working as a candy striper,
a volunteer
in a hospital. It was mandatory volunteering, by the way.
Yeah, some kind of volunteering, huh?
Right. And paid fines. And paid outrageous insurance premiums.
Can you imagine the humiliation of picking up garbage on the side of the freeway? Oh, my God.
Right? Imagine if somebody sees you doing it, okay?
Well, that's for sure. All your buddies going to work on the 405 are going to see you.
Oh, my. You know, the 101, you see these guys in the orange outfits, and I'm looking at them, I'm saying, how many of these guys are drunk drivers?
Can you imagine seeing someone you know? I'm like, shit, Gary, what are you doing?
That's ridiculous. Gary would be the last person.
You're damn
there.
Right. I wouldn't let it happen to
That's
Gary.
That's why I walk around in an orange jumpsuit. It wouldn't make any difference.
I wouldn't let them do that to you, Gary. I don't give a shit what happens. I wouldn't let that happen to you.
Never happened.
I'd go in your place, Gary.
Good thing.
All right, Adam, give everybody your phone number again, including Albert, in case you didn't get it before.
Albert,
how can you get in touch with
Please call me, Albert. It's 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320.
All right, and the website is adamlawyer.com.
You know what you want. This is the show that tells you how to get it.
901-3000-TOM.
This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, and it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
I'm a criminal.
We are brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. Beer Magazine, the summer of love between teachers and students, wrapping up. Wow, this picture is pretty unbelievable. I guess she's 27 years old, this teacher. Actually, she's 22.
22. She's fresh.
Yeah, she is fresh. She apparently charged with rape of a female student.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
17-year-old was the student who said that their relationship changed when they were at an away basketball game in the stands.
Yeah.
Things got, you know, personal.
Hot and heavy.
And, you know, in her defense, this Courtney Gerald.
Why didn't I never have a math
teacher
like this?
She looks like she's 17 years old, right?
How come I didn't have a math teacher like this?
Yeah, that's Riverton High School, by the way.
Yeah, that's up there, over there in Utah.
Over there in Utah. Yeah. That's the way they do.
I'll tell you what, they crank out hot chicks in Utah. Hmm. You just got to put on the magic pants and run around, and then you're good.
The magic pants. I tell you what, that chick doesn't stand. I mean, she's not getting through jail time very easily.
See, they exchange. This is what the story says. They exchange numbers so they could keep in touch with each other over Christmas. And that's
hey, what are you up to?
Girl ended up eventually going over to the apartment, and that's where they kissed for the first time. And believe me, this is the good kind of action.
No doubt about it.
Except for the underage part. But
I'll give you an example of the bad part. Former high school vice principal here in California sentenced to a year in jail and 3 years probation on Monday after pleading guilty to having sex with 3 teenage students. This is a vice principal. Looks like the lunch lady we were talking about yesterday.
Yep. And the problem was this was the story I opened up first, and that was the mug that I saw staring back at me. Aaron Hinton.
Yeah, Aaron Hinton. She's the 45-year-old
former VP of Taquise High School here in Hemet.
She's been ordered to attend 10 Alcoholics Anonymous classes and 25 Sex Addicts Anonymous meetings.
She's not the good kind.
No, definitely not. They apparently exchanged improper illegal images.
Yes.
Via text.
Yes.
And then they were banging. She was accused of sexual battery, oral copulation.
Yes.
And, here's a good one, abnormal interest in children.
Not the good
kind.
I think
she's guilty of that for sure. All right, picture this one in your head. It's the Lehigh Valley there in Pennsylvania. You're a 23-year-old man, and you're getting it on with a 14-year-old girl. Yep. Where?
Can I just tell you that I've been to the Friedensville Cemetery West Saucon Valley Road in Center Valley, Pennsylvania?
No, you have not.
One high school that I went to was in Center Valley, Pennsylvania. I am from the exact whereabouts that all the people mentioned in the story are from. Mm-hmm. Jordan Dean Weinhold of Center Valley had pleaded guilty to statutory sexual assault, a felony that carries up to 10 years in prison. Yeah. Because he got a hold of himself. He's 23, mind you. He got a hold of himself, a 14-year-old girl, and they got her to show up at this cemetery. That's Friedensville Cemetery. That's a home of, like, shit that's, like, 200 years old. It's some crazy-ass shit.
Right. What a creepy place to be banging broads, especially underage ones.
But here's where the problem, other than the underage part, looks like our friend made the victim.
Yes.
The victim was made to give Weinhold oral and vaginal sex, and the girl, they banged around on April 16th, 2012. That's not alleged that happened because he was convicted. So on April 16th, they fucked 2012, and she blew him. And then she went to the police 2 weeks later on May 1st. On that May Day, she went to police and said, this is what happened. Here is some DNA.
They gave
the panties, seriously, and then grabbed the little clip of his hair, and they matched it. Oh, boy.
There's your story.
Friedensville. Mm.
Very surprised he had to make her do anything. I mean, there in the cemetery, you figure she'd be very worked up.
I think that she knew they probably met online, I'm going to guess. I don't understand.
That
but
old creepy dude shows up. Actually, he's not that old, but he can't be banging for 14-year-old kids.
I kid you not. There are headstones in that fucking joint from, like, the 1700s. I shit you not, man. Yeah. There's some real headless horseman shit running around in that thing. I don't know how they got it up.
Right.
And got things going. But Friedensville Cemetery, very scary. There's a scary church sitting on there, too. Mm. It's weird. And at night, if it's real dark, you see people walking around lost. And you also see those two banging.
Yeah. Finally, it looks like your boy, Too Short, may have got what they call the sweetest deal of all time.
Yep.
The sweetest deal. I wonder if the Hebrew Hammer was involved in this one, because he got off with nothing.
He got off with zero.
Right?
Let me tell you a little something.
He literally physically ran away from the cops.
There's video of him running away from the cops. in a DUI stop in which, in the back of the police car, they found ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he hid the ecstasy in the back of the car or the cop car. Guess what? No problem. Done. Here were the seven different charges that he was arrested for. Right. Resisting arrest. Mm-hmm. DUI with a blood alcohol content of 0.08 and higher.
Nice.
And possession of MDMA, mm-hmm. one of the greatest drugs ever. Ecstasy, that's the chemical, the name for it there, MDMA. Just Molly or ecstasy. Basically, our friend Keith Davidson is the Two Shorts attorney. This guy is incredible. He pled no contest to driving with the blood alcohol content of 0.8 or higher. In exchange, all the other charges were dismissed.
He pleaded guilty to the DUI, and everything else was dismissed.
Even though there is video of him running away from the cops.
Yes. And they found the ecstasy in the cop car.
In the cop car.
Right.
It looks like two shorts attorney
right
Keith
there.
Davidson, his magic, and he pulled the Eddie Murphy defense, yeah. which is, A, it wasn't me.
Exactly. There's plenty more news for guys.com. That'll do it for us. I'm Gary's Dino.
Yikes.
Check out our podcast, GaryandDino.com. Brand new show every Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We are back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
On this show, I love talking about how to save money. Well, here's one great way to save some money. If you need insurance, Costlow Insurance is the place to go to get the best deal. That's COSTLO, Costlow. Independent, family-owned and operated since 1965, big fans of our show, and they're just great people. You know, when I was having trouble getting my Tesla Model S insured, and I was having trouble, Costlow got the job done. Quick, easy. Total pleasure to deal with. Are you kidding? I'm so proud to be insured through Costlow. I think it's great. Now, you really should give them a call. Get a free, no-obligation quote at this number. 818-707-7711. Or visit CostlowInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Now, they represent lots of A-plus rated insurance companies, and they'll work with you to get the right protection at the right price. For property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance, it's 818-707-7711. Competitive rates for all risks, from DUIs to spotless driving records, from basic liability to comprehensive, full coverage policies. Do what I did. Call 818-707-7711 or visit costlow.com today. Costlow, COSTLO.